So the epistle for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from Romans chapter 12. Brethren, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given us, either prophecy, to be used according to the rule of faith, or ministry and ministering, and he that teacheth in doctrine, he that exhorteth in exhorting, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with carefulness, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, hating that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good, loving one another with the charity of brotherhood, with honor preventing one another, in carefulness not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep, being of one mind, one towards another, not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 2. At that time there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited and his disciples to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come." His mother say it to the waiters, "Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 measures apiece. Jesus saith to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus saith to them, "Draw it now, and carry it to the chief steward of the feast," and they carried it out. And when the chief steward had tasted the wine, the water made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the waiters knew who had drawn the water, the chief steward called the bridegroom and saith to him, "Every man at first setteth forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but that thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Please be seated. Hate what is evil, love what is good. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In these words of St. Paul that we find in the epistle, it is something that is very clear to us. To hate what is evil, to love what is good. But I would say that if we look around in the modern world around us today, this concept is almost lost. Because the world is, we can say, upside down. Things don't appear as they are. And then clearly, even in some ways, the good appears to be evil and the evil appears to be good. And so it can be hard for us to try to follow truly a Catholic lifestyle. Because that is something that we witness, that is something that we see. So it becomes hard for us to try to live up to this exhortation of St. Paul. But if you look even beyond what is contained in the epistle, the verses before, St. Paul says it is an exhortation for us to sacrifice of ourselves. He says by a means of perfect resignation, perfect fulfilling of the divine will. And so if we read through the epistle of today's Mass, a common theme, yes, is charity. But before that, St. Paul says that we must surrender of oneself if we want to try to follow God's will. So he says, in order to have this perfect fulfillment of the divine will, there must be a self-surrender. And then St. Paul adds on all of these other things for us to contemplate and to think about. But I would say that is a key for us to understand. One, to understand why St. Paul says to us to hate what is evil and to love what is good. Because if we understand clearly the divine will, if we try to follow it as best of our ability, then that will be more clear to us. It will be more evident to us as we are out in the world. More clear to us in the sense that if we can try to follow ourselves and follow the divine will and put the two together, well, then from that, everything else will fall into place. By trying to follow God's will, we will surrender our own will. And by surrendering our own will, we will be pleasing to Almighty God. And that is something that is completely opposite to the modern thinking. The modern thinking is always to do for yourself. And we've talked about this before, about the selfishness of the modern world. It is apparent in everything that is around you. There is always the self-gratification. There is always of looking for oneself. And so in order to fight that, we must surrender oneself. We must try to realize how important that idea is. And it is not just for those that say follow the religious life. Yes, truly, that is a complete surrender of one's will. But it is something that is asked of every single one of us. Because when we consider and when we think about God's will, God, for one, wants us to save our soul. And I am sure we have the same understanding. We want to save our soul too. But at times, it's almost that we want to save our soul according to the means that we think are the best. And so we kind of block out the divine will in terms of that. And so that is why St. Paul, when he exhorts us, he gives these exhortations to try to help, one, obviously the Romans, the people he was speaking to. But we do have to understand that sacred scripture is something that speaks to all of us. That is why that God has given it to us. That is why it's inspired by God. It is not regulated to just a time period. It is not restricted to just the time period of when the Romans, when St. Paul was speaking to the Romans. It is something for all of us. And so that is why then the encouragement by St. Paul is to not think of oneself, but to think first and foremost of God. How best can I serve Almighty God? And that should be the question that we ask ourselves, God willing, as we grow up, so that we can listen to God's voice, God's will. But as I say, modern world is so bent on the idea that we must fulfill our own will, that we know what is best for us, that we tune out what God says to us. That we don't listen to God's will. And I would say, yes, that is why we have a lack of vocations. Because either you will have it to where people think that it's too hard, or they just don't want to follow it. Because that is maybe not the path that they want to take. And I would say that it's even found in traditional circles too, because we are all products of our environment. We are all tainted with the world around us. And so it's very easy for any of our young adults, our children, to tune out this message from God. Because again, there is not this idea of self-surrender. Because it goes against the grain. It goes against the modern world. It goes against what we hear constantly around us. And so when we consider, why is there a lack of vocations? Well, one, yes, I would say that sometimes the ground is not set properly. But I would also say that it's on the point of the soul itself. There's sometimes not this willingness to listen to the will of God. And they can convince themselves that they are still following God's will. Become a good Catholic father, or a good Catholic mother, or to work out in the world and make a difference. All those things are very important, don't get me wrong. But I don't think that we have, all of us, sometimes the proper understanding of self-surrender. I mean, it can even affect us as priests too. We're bent on our own will, our own idea. And all of a sudden a transfer comes or a change, different things, and it's kind of like, wait a minute, I'm not done there. But God is probably looking and says, well, yes, you are. And so it's very easy for all of us to be tainted by that idea that we know best. And so I think that if we can, try to help our souls to understand that it is a matter of hating what is evil, avoiding those things that will draw us away from God, that will lead us astray, that will put up these obstacles to listening to the will of God, that it will help us then to love truly what is good, and God is good. And that is what we must try to do in our spiritual lives. That is why we try to give you the opportunities, the days of recollection, retreats to encourage you to go on. Because we all need time to think of the things of God. This world is so busy and there is so much that is going on, we lose sight of that. And we become just in the routine. But then are we actually increasing or helping our spiritual life? I mean, that is something that we must try to consider. And I mentioned it to the children in school. I'm sure I've mentioned it to you. But the spiritual life is not just about avoiding sin and that's it. It is meant about practicing virtue. It is meant to see the virtues that are necessary for us. And that we must tend toward, we must try to work on every day of our life. Because just trying to avoid sin and staying away, that is sometimes not enough. God has meant for us to practice virtue. And so with these things, when we consider what St. Paul says to us, yes, it can sound very strong. And as I say, even though it sounds strong, on the surface, it appears like, oh, we all follow that. We all hate what is evil and we all, you know, love what is good. But then why do we sin? Why do we embrace then things that are evil? And that is something that the question is for all of us. Human nature is human nature, yes, but we cannot just accept that. We must fight against our human nature. We must realize because our human nature is weak that it will tend toward then what is evil, what is sinful. Because we are wounded. Our human nature is wounded. And even after our baptism, when original sin is taken away, there is still the residue that is there. In Latin, it is referred to as fomes peccati. This inclination towards sin, it is still there for us. If we deny that, then in a way we're denying original sin. And so we cannot deny that. We have to try to understand the fight that we are in. We have to try to see what God is expecting out of our souls. It is a means of practicing virtue in order to get to heaven. And so, yes, there must be a hatred toward what is evil. Because what is evil is completely against God. God is good. And so therefore, we must hate what is evil. We must hate what takes us away from Almighty God. Because then if it is serious enough, well, it can make us complete enemies of Almighty God. And so this exhortation that St. Paul gives to us, yes, on the surface, it appears very clear. It appears clear, and it appears to be something that, well, of course, we follow that. But as I say, the verses before it, I think, also clearly gives us the idea of what St. Paul is telling us. In order to have this charity, in order to follow these things and to have these different gifts that God gives to us, there must be a self-surrender. There must be a willingness to follow Almighty God, not ourselves. And therefore, that is how we will then love what is good. Because again, as I say, bent on our own will tend toward what is evil. But God gives us the means, the vehicle, which is grace, to help us above that. And so that is what we must pray for. That is what we must consider and to contemplate in our own lives. Do we have that proper understanding? Have we tried to align our will with Almighty God? And it is a work in progress, trust me. It is something that we will struggle with probably for our whole life. But we must. We must struggle with it, and we must try to accomplish it. So as I say, contemplate and to pray for these graces. Ask and beg God for these graces. And turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We see in the Gospel account of how important she is. She was the means of our Lord's first miracle. And so Our Lady will help us accomplish these goals. She was completely resigned to the will of God by her fiat, her willingness to listen and to be the Mother of God. And so we have to follow that same path. So ask Our Lady to help you. And by gaining these graces, then you can truly say that you hate what is evil and you love what is good. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.